Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Those are two different words: child, humanity of Christ; son is given, the deity of Christ. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great names. Is Christ God? Is the child born in Bethlehem God? Is his name Mighty God, Everlasting Father? Is he the Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor? And is there an increase, verse 7, read it out loud with me, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. You may be seated. Turn to the Gospel of Luke, please. Luke chapter 1. The sermon title is on our card here. One important leap leads to another. This is the December 24th. On the back of your card, and if you don't have a card, you can pick it up at the information booth there. There are four sermons in January. The first one, the Word. January 14th, Work. 21st, Wealth, and 28th is Whim. We also want to teach in these coming months on the subject of Bible prophecy in the end times. Reason is because Bible prophecy is very much a part of our Bible. We have prophecies that have been fulfilled, and then we have those that have not been fulfilled but are coming. The second coming of Christ is one of those categories. And to know the time we are living in is important to us as born-again believers. We have an internal life, and this is Psalm 1. I'd like you to make a note of this. Psalm 1 is internal life of the believer. Mental, spiritual meditation. Internal, invisible. Psalm 1. Psalm 2 is more of the evil external enemy or opposition to the believer. We'll look at that. First of all, the internal verse, Luke 1, verse 39. In those days, what days? Well, if you go back to 35, the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The angel came and gave a message to Mary, and that she would actually be the mother carrying a child in her womb that would be called the Son of God. The angel also said, "Your relative," verse 36, "behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son." And this is the sixth month with who? with her, who was called barren. So if you looked at these two women, one of them, their belly is flat, right? Mary has just been impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and she has in her a very small fetus called the Son of God. In her relative, Elizabeth, her belly is a little more extended. She's 6 months pregnant. But they haven't seen each other. And Mary doesn't really know. There's not Facebook and other social media. She doesn't know. Ancient world. But the angel said, your relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, and she's carrying, and it's miraculous. So in those days, Mary quickly, she makes haste to go see her relative south. Mary is in the north of the Megiddo Valley there in Nazareth. She's in the territory called Galilee. Her aunt is down in Hebron. It's some walk of a week or 10 days, and she goes to see her. Because angels talking to you is extraordinary. Being told that you are pregnant and you don't know a man is extraordinary. Your relative is pregnant and she's old, and that is extraordinary. And nobody really knows about these things. It's not in the newspaper. It's not out in the street. It's not being talked about. It's something of a spiritual nature. And I'm sure you will follow me in this, but I want people in Baltimore City and everywhere in the world to have something going on that is spiritual, that is going on in your life. I want that because that has been at the very basis of my life and the very basis of your life, the very basis of God's people, is that something is going on and you're not sure exactly of what it is. I remember when I first came to this church back in 1972 up in Maine under the pastor, Dr. Stevens, the ministry that he had, and I didn't know, but I was born again months earlier, and I was praying that I would find a church. I was in New York, and I was praying to find a church, and it happened that I'm up in Maine, and I find this place. And I couldn't explain it. I couldn't explain it to my friends. I couldn't explain it to my family. I couldn't explain it, but I knew. And I think if you interviewed Mary, you say, what are you doing, Mary? She goes, I can't explain it to you, but I know that I need to go see Elizabeth. I can't explain it to you, but an angel appeared unto me, and I've got something going on. There's something happening. Now, I'm not saying angels come to us, but I am saying that God comes to us and he does something on the inside, because we are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the Word of God that lives and abides forever. So that's it. Go to the next verse, please. It's Luke chapter 1 and verse. We'll read verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste. Why was she in a hurry? Because when you want to connect the dots, or you want to find out like something, there's something kind of, you know, like there's an urgency about it, or something push, you know, passion, interest, I got to find this out. I remember back in those days reading the book, The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, who wrote about Bible prophecy and the coming of Christ. And when I read it, there was an urgency that kind of happened in my heart. I got to find out more about this. And then, who knows the Bible? Anybody here know the Bible? Like, I was on the college campus. Anybody know the Bible? I don't know the Bible at all. Anybody know the Bible? Nobody knew the Bible. But I went to a small little campus meeting with Christians, and there was, I don't know, 10 or 15 people or something like that. And they had a guest speaker. And as I listened to him, my heart was burning in me. I was so, like, I wouldn't say I was in a hurry, but I was focused on finding out. And I think this is what Mary was doing. Like, she had to go find Elizabeth because the angel had told her, and Mary needed, like, some kind of affirmation. So this is what happened. Verse 40. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. The spiritual. It's hard to explain it. It's internal. This spiritual life, it's amazing. It's like the air on your face. You know, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, you are born of the Spirit. It's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. Now, when you walk out here and a light wind touches your cheek, probably I think today I'm not sure, but I check on my phone about the wind. I usually know, like, you know. So it touches your cheek. Where is it coming from? That wind maybe came down from Canada, or it's coming from the Atlantic Ocean east out towards Long Island. That wind has been there. I don't know where. And then after it touches me, where does it go? It goes to Pennsylvania, goes over to Canada, goes south. Where does the wind go? Jesus is saying the spiritual life is like that. It's like a lot of it you cannot figure, you cannot map it out. The spiritual life is something that's internal and personal. And when you and I, we are born of the Spirit, there's something that God has put us in, a world of joy, rejoicing, faith, love, a relationship. And the immediate, the reality is important, that actually I do feel it on my cheek. That's about all. I can't say much about it beyond that, where it comes from or where it's going. In a way, I don't know about that, and I don't need to know. I just need to know that a new birth is a very real thing. And when you are believing in Christ, you are born again, and that spiritual life is in you. And when you hear a voice like Mary, in this case, Elizabeth said, the baby, 6 months of age, moves in her. And she said, it wasn't a physiological reason for the leaping or the moving. It was he moved because of joy. Look at verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry. Loud cry. Blessed are you among women. How many women were in Israel at the time? I don't know, maybe there were 2 million people at the time of Christ, the 2 million, 2 or 3 million people in Israel at the time. How many women? Let's say half. Mary is the one. Imagine, she is the one that God chose. When Elizabeth said this, how pregnant was Mary? Like a flat, right? She's days pregnant, flat, but Elizabeth prophesied. The spiritual life is like that. God will speak to you, and nobody can tell. The spiritual life is like that, that the Word of God is preached, you can hear it, and realize that this is true. One example, the second coming of Christ. Christ is coming. First time, second time, he's coming back. First time he came as a servant, meek, humble, persecuted, attacked, crucified. Second time as the King of Kings. Does it bear witness to you? Can you believe those words? Do you have, yes, the Holy Spirit bears witness. And so this is communication and connection. Look at verse 43. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. That must have knocked Mary off her feet, spiritually speaking. Wow, you know that I am pregnant? You know that I am? Say it again. Say it again. I need to hear that. I want to hear that. I can't believe it. The angel said it. I came here to meet you, and now you're telling me it's true. How much this is happening in the life of the Spirit. How much the Holy Spirit is saying to us many ways that stay on track, walk by faith. I will uphold you. I will keep you. You are increasing with me. I am building you up. I have a message for you, not a message in the flesh, not a message of the world, but the message that is from God that is unique and others do not know about it. But Elizabeth knows and Mary knows, for they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then read verse 43. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is out of the ballpark, isn't it? Out of the box. This is like words that a human being would never say. How is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me, right? And she's a young girl, looking just like some young girl would look, not married and so on. I mean, it's not obvious, but it is clear to her. So we speak things that are not spoken by men. We are speaking from God's word. So we are believing things that others are not believing, but we are believing them because they're part of our spiritual DNA. We are saying he is risen and he is coming again and many other things, like our sins are forgiven. The blood has washed them away. We have been raised with him. We are seated in heavenly places. The kingdom of God is amongst men. We are living by faith. Our prayers are heard by our heavenly Father. God is for us and not against. The new covenant is a covenant of grace and not of law. There are things that we hear that say, that resonate on the inside, because this is how it works. Okay, go now to verse 44. For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. I could imagine some brother in trouble today, maybe in a prison cell, or maybe some other kind of trouble. Maybe he lost his money, or lost a friend, or a child, or lost his wife or husband, a woman having lost in trouble. I can imagine on the outside. A little later in the message, we'll speak about the book of Esther. We can imagine on the outside what can happen in life. And because I get in trouble on the outside doesn't mean that I'm being punished by God. It doesn't mean that I've done something wrong necessarily. Just because I fall into trouble, 1 Peter 4, verse 12 says, don't marvel at the fiery trial that comes upon you suddenly, that it happens. Or in the words of Christ, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Man is born under trouble, like sparks go up, and like water comes down. Man is just in a world where the laws of life happen, and trouble is part of life. But be of good cheer. There comes the Spirit, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Comforter. The body of Christ. This is the day before Christmas. We in the last couple of weeks, we have been celebrating many ways, about parties and family get-togethers and friends. And it's a great time of year. I love this time of year because the world does business buying and selling, and we do business in our faith, rejoicing in the birth of Christ. We assemble, and we should do it all the more as we see the day coming. And I don't want to leave you with a negative feeling today about the world, but I have to be honest with you. We are in troublous times. There is talk about war on the streets. There's threats and danger. There are people, like we read in the book of Esther, there's a Haman who has planned a genocide, and he's using the instruments of the king, who is a bit oblivious to what is really happening in his empire. And he has this man, Haman, who has this evil design for the extermination of the Jewish people. Haman is on the external. But there's two characters in the book that have something going on internally. And they are Mordecai, the uncle of Esther. And they both are Jews that understand, and they represent another way, a way different from the world of Haman. And by the way, I have some material here on the Nazi Party, and what they thought about this Book of Esther. And how there's some information about it. And you can Google it and read it. So Google the word Purim, P-U-R-I-M, and read it, and you find it fascinating. Listen, this is the point. The demons are against the Jews. The demons from the devil, they contest God. They defy him. They want to, anything God does, the devil is there in defiance. So Haman is a man who dies, but where do the demons go? Demons don't die. Demons just go to another man who also has power and influence. And the demons are looking by a way for men to murder, lie, kill, destroy the holy seed. The promises of God are based on the seed, which is Christ. And before Christ, the seed that goes back to the promise to Abraham, and there was an attempt by the devil to exterminate all of the seed of David. Remember? And a nurse hid one of the children. They were all killed except one was kept in the temple, and he was 6 years old. That was the devil. When Christ was born and the wise men came, and Herod wanted what happened? He said, tell me when you find him and I will come and worship him. The wise men were told, don't go back to Herod. They left. Herod woke up one day angry and ordered the killing of all the children 2 years and younger. Okay, that's the devil. Out in the world externally is the work not only of ignorant people, misguided people, naive people, morally bad people, but there's a spirit of evil that is against what God is doing. The internal, Psalm 1, is challenged externally in Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing against the Lord and his anointed? Why is it that the kings of the earth are against the Lord and his seed and God's anointed? Why is there externally a design and a program for the obliteration, extermination, destruction of God's people? Okay. So two things. First one, the internal. Read with me, please. Mary said, verse 46, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Do you see the two words, soul and spirit? We believe in our church here that there are three parts to people: spirit, soul, body. Internal life, the deepest part of a man is his spirit. And she said, my spirit rejoices. The spirit in a person in communion with God, and there's joy. Actually, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. The candle of the Lord. Somebody give John a little nudge. I can even hear him snoring from here. Not to embarrass him. Listen to me. Spirit rejoicing, soul magnifies. In verse 46, my soul magnifies. but he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. If we were to reduce these words into a simple phrase, it goes like this. Mary is saying that we, Elizabeth and me, like God has visited the humble and exalted us, that Christ is born, like Mary could say, me, and she knows it is me. And she says, us, but where are the proud? The proud are not involved. The proud are sent away empty. Where are the rich? They can't even get enough gifts to satisfy their hunger and their desire. And I read a little bit about that rich people this Christmas are, they're not giving, they can't find the things to give. They can't find the things valuable enough, or they can't find, they're maybe tired or exhausted. I've sent the rich empty away. But the humble, these two women are saying, yeah, we see it. That we see, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Yeah, we have a party. We got it. It is in us. We are leaping and rejoicing in something that God has done that transcends this world. Don't be envious over the rich or the people that are privileged or have great abilities in Psalm 73. Rejoice in this, that God has spoken to us, that God has visited us, that God is for us and not against us. Rejoice in this, that our world is an everlasting one. That the Spirit of God is our love and our joy and our peace. That, you know, I have this funny little poem about the day after Christmas, isn't there? You know the poem, it says, what is it, the night before Christmas, remember? It was the night before Christmas, all through and so on it goes. This was the day after. When all through the place there were arguments and depression, even Mom had a long face. 'Twas the day after Christmas. The stockings hung empty and the house was a mess. The clothes didn't fit and Dad was under stress. The family was irritable and the children no one could please, because the instructions for this swing set were written in Chinese. The bells no longer jingled and no carolers came around. The sink was stacked with dishes and the tree was turning brown. The stores were full of people returning things that fizzled and failed. And the shoppers were discouraged because everything they'd bought was now on half-price sale. That was the day after Christmas. The spirit of joy had disappeared. The only hope on the horizon was 12 bowl games the first day of the new year. Yeah. But Mary and Elizabeth, they got something going on. I want you to have it. And you know what I'm saying. That there's something going on in our church. Something going on in our hearts. Something going on in the books we read. And read a book, and when you can't get moving in your heart, after 15 minutes and put it down, maybe it's not the book for you. But you can find many that are edifying and encouraging you in the faith. Read your Bible. Read it back and forth. Read it every way you can. Read it different translations. Read the Bible and eat it and enjoy it. Guys, you have an internal life of Psalm 1, okay? Turn there now with me, two parts before we finish Psalm 1. You can, this week, be reading Psalm 1 and 2 and comparing them. I am saying, in principle, Psalm 1 is about the meditation of the man or woman of God, the internal life, Psalm 1. So you see it, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. And you have to discern the counsel of the wicked. You have to recognize that it is the counsel of the wicked. You have to learn how to ignore it, block it out. You have to learn how to recognize the nature of it and say, no. Say that with me. Say no. Say it real quietly. No. No. Say it three times. No. No. No! Then say it loud. No. Not going to happen. Say not going to happen. Not going to happen. No. Learn how to say no. Learn not at all. Learn to say no. Nam. Sabbat. In Hungarian. No. Nah, it can't happen. No, I don't like it. No, I don't want it. No, never. Never going to happen. Not in my house. We don't have that in our house. No, not going to happen. Turn it off. Don't talk like that, please. Be encouraging and edifying. And learn how to, what the wicked are saying. The wicked are down our throats every day externally, but they can't find a handle internally. Guys, we have another way of thinking internally. Mary and Elizabeth have a party over what God is saying, and they're so sure about it, and they're convinced, and they realize it, and they're encouraged in it, though nobody would believe them. Well, this has to be in our life too. And when the wicked are saying what they say through the there are many different means and facets of communication and all of their influences by many means, even in the church, it can happen. You have to discern it and recognize it and say, I don't want to live by the counsel of the wicked. I want to learn another way. So I need this book in me, in my spirit, and in my heart. I need to see that and be able to say, no, I want to say yes, too. I want to say amen. And I want to say hallelujah, and I want to say that's what I believe. That's how I'm going to live. I was thinking of preaching up a barn-burning kind of message. Barn-burning. You know what barn-burning means? Barn is on fire, and there's no way to put it out. That kind of preaching is important in our life. That I need to be told. I need to realize what is wrong. And what is error and what is arrogance? And I need to realize and just be told straight up, no, can't do it. I don't believe that. So the internal life is where this comes from. Then Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathens rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves. And I want to just say, because I think I'm going to finish here. My Esther part, I'll have to come later. But I just want to say, anti-Semitism is not from God, not the Holy Spirit, no. Anti-Semitism. Being against the Jewish people in any way. I mean, I may disagree about some issue of some kind. I'm saying generally, when you find a whole country is anti-Semitic, and up there in the leadership somewhere, there's a Haman. There's an anti-Semite there, and it's demonic. There's somewhere, and I'm not, I want you to understand that I can only say it generally in terms that are just general, and that is you have to say God has a plan, and God is for Israel, for the Jewish people. I mean, in this country, there can be, in different places, anti-Semitism, and you are to recognize it and say that's not of God. In a government in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Russia, other countries in the world, there can be a policy and words and action that is anti-Semitic, like we read in the book of Esther. But that's on the external. But internally, I love these people. I pray for Israel. I pray for their salvation. I pray for them to realize who Christ is. We love them as people like we love everybody. It's the same. We are to love everybody. But this kind of demonic spirit, which is on the externally, is not in our hearts internally. Cannot be. When John the Baptist leaped in his womb, it led to, and this is the title of our message, isn't it? One important leap leads to another. John the Baptist, and he leaped and he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And he had a calling on his life, and he walked in the calling, and he brought revival to Israel to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. They would not know all the things that were wrong without John the Baptist saying, come on, let's get serious, let's follow God, let's look for God, where there is one coming that is greater than I. And that was his mission, and it was over in a year and a half. And Herod beheaded him because the external powers of evil are very real against the real work of God that is internal. And if you are an upright person walking in the reality of who Christ is, then you will find the opposition on the outside is a very real thing, and they will target the upright. It says in Psalm 11:3 and in 1 Timothy we read, that we are 2 Timothy chapter 2, we will suffer persecution. The upright, the godly will. But that's okay. Bring it on. Because, yeah, out of us will come forth honey. Out of the lion comes honey. Out of the dead lion comes honey, Samson said. And when we have died, but now we live a different way. We lost our life, but now honey comes out of the carcass of the lion. Christ died on the cross, but out of him comes life. Life comes 3 days later, and a whole kingdom that is on the earth that is based on him. Because this is a spiritual kingdom that has no end. And there's no opposition that can get the advantage. There's no lie that can dethrone it. There's no action that could take it apart. This is God's work, God's way on this world. And that's what Elizabeth and Mary were singing about and recognized in the very early beginning, right there. And it's an example for us. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, one leap in the womb leads to another. The right stuff in the beginning will lead us to the right stuff later on. The calling of God in our life can mature and develop and grow, and we'd be amazed at what God will do. What God will do in your life, how God will lead you in your life. But keep that walking in that internal life where the Spirit is speaking and building you up in the inner man. One leads to the other. If the seed is right, then we do not yet know what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. If you're here today and you haven't started on your walk, say to Christ, I believe in you. Say to Christ, by faith, I need you, save me. And he does. He saves you today, right now, by his great grace. He is for you, not against you. He died for you, washes you clean by his blood, was raised from the dead for you. Say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Please say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And then raise your hand here in the auditorium. Anyone at all, just raise your hand. Anyone? Yes to Jesus. Anyone at all? Anyone? Yes to Jesus. Raise your hand. Anyone? The ushers, thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, ma'am, right here. Very good. Beautiful. This lady right there. There we go. Awesome. God bless you. Beautiful. You are born again. Born of God, like we said today in the message. Born of God by God's grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Amen. Wow. Thank God. Praise God. Tonight we'll have the candlelight service. Please come back. Bring anybody and everybody with you if you like. We'll have little electric candles and sing a few carols and have a short message, and then you're dismissed. So that'll be at 6:30 tonight. Have a great Christmas with your family and friends. And if you don't have a place, you can contact Pastor Jason. He could help you. Maybe there's some family that would like to have a visitor come in and be part of the celebration. And God bless you. New Year's is coming in a week. We're going to have a great year. And there's so much to be thankful for what God has done through the year. Many great things have happened. We'll celebrate that on that night, New Year's Eve. That'll be here 1 week from today, right? 1 week from today. And you're welcome for that, too. Okay. Would you stand, please?
Okay, Father, we thank you for this beautiful words, Lord, eternal words that we heard today. We thank you, Lord, that everyone is gathered here. We ask you, Lord, that you will send us out, that you will be with us, that our thoughts would be upon you, our meditation would be upon you. We pray, Lord, that you will really bless the families, Lord, throughout the day. We pray, Lord, that you will bring us back safely to worship you, Lord, and to be together with your saints. And we ask this all in your precious and holy name. Amen.